Thank you.
Continue. Okay.
By the way, my wife wants us to move back to Philly. She's really fed up with Jersey. We've only been here a year.
Yeah.
My wife
too, Glenn. She hated Jersey. She wanted to back to Philadelphia.
You're in one of the better areas of Jersey too.
I know, yeah.
I grew up did 4 years in Glassboro, Pittman when I was a kid, so that's South Jersey. It's a little bit different than where you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, North Jersey is North Jersey. There's a difference.
Okay, it's a little after 9, so let's start our meeting. Welcome to the June meet of the Philadelphia Division. Again, apologies that we aren't doing this in person. We'll get to that more during our business meeting when Mark talks about all the hoops and hurdles we tried to go through to make it happen. So the first item on the agenda today is to do the annual business meeting. So I will call the business meeting to order at 9:03 a.m. As Mark has said, pre-recording, we in the past had not kept detailed minutes of the meeting. Anyone who wanted to review the minutes of the meeting would basically have to review the video of the meeting. Going forward, we will keep minutes and then inform people what we decided or what came up in the future. So, first thing I'd like to do is I'd like to thank Howard Kaplan for his service as a board member for these last, 10 years, Howard? Or so.
Standing ovation, dude.
Yes, indeed, Howard.
Obviously, Howard decided not to run. He will still be the dispatcher editor and webmaster and other things for the division, but we will have a new treasurer when we start the new year in July. Superintendent usually reports. Obviously, it's been a tough year for the last year. We've, gotten through it the best we can with the Zoom meetings. Attendance has never been as great as we've hoped it will have been in the future. Again, we had a lot more people before we ended this pandemic. We hope to have a lot more people when we move away from the pandemic. As always, and we usually make this announcement a couple times, if you know of any venues that would be interested in hosting us, let any member of the board know. And we can investigate the locations and try and find a couple places. We do have a couple of them that we usually use, like Percocet Firehouse. There was the one at Southampton that we were looking at. Obviously, we've got the great place in Wilmington, Delaware, that Joe and helps, find. We had the place out in Newtown Square and also in, I guess, West Lytton we've used one time. But we're always looking for different and new places around the division. We have the church, First Brethren Church, over near Philadelphia. But if you have leads of places that will let us in, let us know, and we will investigate, hopefully without the onerous insurance requirement. So that's about all I have. Joe, would you like to say anything as the assistant superintendent? Actually, before that, let me introduce the members of the board who are on the call. Obviously, my name is Rob Hinkle. I'm the superintendent of the division. Joe Walters, MMR, is the assistant superintendent. Howard Kaplan is the treasurer, but going off the board. Mark Wallace is the clerk. And
Mike
Dettinger, who is a director at large. Chip Stevens and Kevin Feeney could not make it today because we rescheduled from last weekend. They already had prior meetings and things to go to today. So moving on from that, Joe, is there anything you'd like to talk about as the assistant superintendent?
Yes, there was I did make a contact again with the Southampton Community Senator Center, and they're going to get me a new contact. But at this moment, they're still not opening the building yet. But we're looking for April, so there may be a good shot that we can get back in there in April.
Okay.
And then I've made a decision that we're going to go forward with the open house schedule this year. Spoke to a couple people. There were some people that are still a little bit concerned, but I think we're going to move forward with it. Some people wanted to know, you know, can you demand people put masks on? You shouldn't be open if you're going to be that fastidious about it. So we'll see how that works out. The JET form will probably go up mid-August. And instead of me calling and harassing you or somebody else calling and harassing you, you go to the website, you type in on the JET form, and you tell us when you want to be open, what time, what days, and whatnot. Worked out pretty successful the first year we used it. That's about it. Yeah, me and Earl's going to hit the pike, then Earl can talk about more about that once we start getting cranked up and start doing our AP duties.
Okay. Next on the agenda would be the clerk's report. Mark?
Thank you. Yes, as Rob introduced me earlier, and most of you know, I'm going to give here a little annual talk about a whole bunch of housekeeping things that we do as part of our annual business meeting. First up is the reason for why we're here today and not where we were supposed to be last week. And so I just want to give the official reason was came down to insurance and requirements. We were in the process of planning a meet, and we wanted to try to find an outdoor place to meet. And there's a lot of pavilions, there's a lot of parks, there's a lot of parking lots that we could have a meet in. And it's all based on the weather. And someone suggested from Pat Matigue's Tuesday Night Round Robin that we check out the 4-H Club, and it's right around the corner from where Earl lives, and it's down the road from where I am here in Collegeville. So I checked it out and found a really nice pavilion. They have quite a facility back there in Skipack. They've got something like 5 barns, 2 pavilions, and a racetrack. And then they have an old school building that has an auditorium, and it's a great place, you know, for a meet. Anyway, buried in the lease was some pretty tough language about indemnification and carrying additional insurance. And naturally, the NMRA has a really good insurance program. And so when we submitted our application, I attached the insurance accord sheet. And they said, oh, no, you have to add our board of directors, our staff, our facility for a period of 1 year. I said, wow, that's unusual. And so I kicked it up to national. Rob and I talked about it, and we went through the region, and then they kicked it up to national. And they said that it's very, very tough requirements here. We don't ordinarily do this. Normally insurance, you have insurance, they have insurance, and then we just go ahead and have the meet and have fun, and that's that. And you can't prevent somebody if they get into trouble from filing in a claim. So I went back and tried to negotiate it, and they wouldn't budge. So I asked if there was an alternative way to do it, and they plunked down a waiver that says essentially in so many words, you had to donate your first child for the rest of your life. And it was even worse. And like I said to you all before we started the meeting, we just couldn't live with that. The other thing was when I went to meet with the guy, that was the morning I believe the announcement came from the president that, you know, we were going to start rescinding a lot of the masks and quarantine and isolation things. So one of the problems here is that we've been dealing with a moving ball. We've also been dealing with a problem that any of the other venues that we were looking at that were outdoors, either were already booked or they had strings attached. So it turns out there were fees that you had to pay. And this venue, like everything else, we had to pay a higher than normal fee just to be outdoors. So that was a little bit of a frustrating thing too. It's not like meeting over in Percocet or in Wilmington or some of these other places. So there were a lot of strings attached. So we just felt on the board that this was a little more than we could handle. And given that we're coming out of a pandemic thing, let's not make this too heavy. And so we decided to go the virtual route that you got here today. So it's a great venue. We may go back there, or we may see about getting in there at some point or another. And to echo what Rob said earlier, and Joe, if you know of a place, you know, you want us to look at, it's nearby, we'll check it out. And that'd be a good thing. Okay, so I hope that answers enough questions. This has been like a moving ball. We can't find a place to have meets yet. It's just not, it's too soon. We hear about flea markets. We hear about train shows, and then they get canceled, much like our national convention. What was it? Rails by the
Bay.
What was that called, Rob?
Rails by the Bay.
Rails by the Bay. They just canceled that for one reason or another, with having to do with the pandemic. So we just have to be patient about that. Okay, so moving along here, I want to talk about membership a little bit. First off, in the last year, we've retreated onto these Zoom calls. Something that I've picked up is that the National Model Railroading Association is an association. And therefore, you are associates in model railroading. And I like to kind of emphasize that, because sometimes we take our membership for granted. And it's wonderful that you're all here this morning, and we want to thank you. And by being an associate in model railroading, this follows what other organizations do. I'm in a couple of associations professionally, and that's how we treat one another. It's designed to support the hobby and the range of activities our hobby offers. And the range is broad and varied, as you guys well know. The NMRA offers four different categories of membership. You know, there's regular, and then there's a variation on that where you don't get the magazine. There's a family membership. There's a student membership. There's a club membership. And I kind of lied here. There's really five. There's a business membership. So if you're Athern or Bachman or somebody like that, you can join as a corporation. We have three or four of the categories on our list here. Let's see what else. We have about 20 life members. And I want to talk about that for a second, because the NMRA has honored the life memberships. They're starting to go away in other organizations, but the NMRA has honored life members, and we have people who've been life members since the 1960s and 70s. And we welcome their participation, those of them who are still with us. Our division has the second highest number of life members. I believe the Potomac division around Washington, D.C. has the highest, not only in the region, but in the entire NMRA. And that's a little bit of a prejudice, because life members aren't reimbursed for their membership. That's just an NMRA thing, and we deal with that. Let's see. At this time, we have fluctuating between 246, 250 members, give or take. What happens is the NMRA sends us a roster every month, and they tell us the new people. They tell us people who have their membership maybe have expired or has changed in some way. What we don't see is the people who move in and the people who move out. And so for those of you who are moved here today, we want to welcome you and we'll catch up with you sooner or later. And see, this is the frustrating thing about doing this on Zoom. We can't see each other face to face like we can in a regular meeting. We're concerned with the members. Of course, we want to attract more people into the association. We want to attract more people into the hobby. We're primarily, demographically, we're primarily an older group. We have space, money, and time. Many people who are younger than we are busy. So our membership is really attributed to several things. Death, people moving away, moving to other parts of the country and continuing in the NMRA, but they're just not in our division anymore. And then we have folks who are taking out a subscription and they're trying out a membership for a year. But for one reason or another, they don't stay with us. You know, part of the attraction of the NMRA is you get to come to these meets, which we're going to start having soon and start having on a regular basis. So, that's the three main categories. And the third one we can start to work on. I do want to say that we have lost a couple of members to death, the attrition. It's particularly Alden Smith, who was a regular at all of our meets for as long as I've been coming to them for the last 15 years. And so he will be missed when we get back together. And there are other people as well. So we're hovering at around 246. It's been coming down through the years, but all in all, the overall membership of the NMRA is about 19,800. It's just a little shy of 20,000. It's a very, very rare hobby. It's a very, very specialized hobby. It's not as popular as sports. And it's not as popular as crocheting or some of the other crafts that are out there. Our hobby has both crafts and sports. If you look at building layouts and scenery and building, and if you look at ops as a big activity, we're all over the place. So anyway, let's see. So I'm going to encourage here, and what we want to do here in the next year is just kind of try to beef up the program and to engage all of you in you know, the activities of the hobbies. We've been talking here on the board about going to train shows and having a presence at train shows, encouraging clubs, and then developing some other activities like maybe module building or doing hands-on clinics and doing a variety of other programs. The other thing is we want to do is encourage all the networks in the division. This division has a lot of little networks. They're round robins, clubs, all kinds of activities, buddies, small groups, small neighborhood groups. And it can be pretty dynamic and pretty exciting. We're just constrained right now in this Zoom call. And we're trying to open things up as safely as we can. Safety first, it's a motto in railroading, and that's what we certainly try to model. So that's basically my report for right now. I've got a visitor here with my cat, wants to, is over here, wants to intrude and say hello. But other than that, does anybody have any questions they want to ask?
I do, Mark.
Yes, sir, Howard.
Were you able to get all the deposit back?
Yes.
Good.
That is en route.
Okay.
I did. Thank you for that question. Yes, we had to lay out some money, and then we had to pay some more money, and then we were going to get some of the money back that we deposited. So I had an email transaction with the manager last week, and he said that they would be returning the deposit, and I have not seen it yet, though, but we'll keep tabs.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay, well, hearing none, thank you very much for everybody being here this morning. I'm looking forward to seeing all you guys when we get back together again, and of course, visiting layouts and doing all the other neat stuff. So Rob, back to you.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. Next up is Howard with the Treasurer's Report.
Okay, I'm going to share my screen.
Wait a minute, I have
to go. We need to make you a host.
Hold on.
That. Where
are you? Okay. You're good to go, Howard.
Okay.
We got it.
Can everybody see that? Good.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. All right. So this is the boring part of the meeting. Profit and loss for the last fiscal year, the year beginning July 1st, 2020, ending at the end of this month. We ended up with net income, which has been a rarity for years and years, but we had so few expenses, having all the meets on Zoom, that even with the meager MER dues rebate, which is up here, there's only one of them that we get two a year. There's only one of them in here. It's just because of the way things worked out as far as the timing.
Yeah.
We had, the other thing is, thanks to Kevin Feeney, since Kevin has joined the division and now even more so has taken Charles's place on the board for the last year, he's always been active with working his swap tables at meets, things like that. And he's, we've gotten donations of railroad cars and rolling stock, other things, structures, and he's done a fantastic job selling those for us. And that's what you see here, this 577.14. I mean, we never get donations like that. And that's all because of him. So he's definitely an asset to the division. If you can tolerate the rest of it. No, I'm just joking. The other thing is that due to my, we have another other here, other income. But due to my mishap, my fire, the records from the last several months were destroyed. I reconstructed the books and everything's fine now. The only thing is that I don't remember where this income came from. And Kevin, I could swear that Kevin had earned that for us too, but he doesn't know. So we're just fortunate to have almost $300 of extra income from somewhere, some donation or something that occurred, and don't look a gift horse in the mouth. So we'll take that. The apparel negative here is that was balanced out by apparel sales that occurred just before the end of last year, so our last fiscal year. Anyway, these are our major expenses. This is where we ended up, so
yeah,
we're all pretty satisfied with that. Next, balance sheet. We have CDs in the works. We're just leaving this not making much money, but it's making more than the checking account. And we're just leaving them there for the time being. Here, the maturity, in case you're looking here, these are the maturity dates. 22 is the year, and then the month and day. So these two come due the beginning of next year, and this one is the 24-month one. That's 23. But as you can see, we're doing pretty good, 28,000 total. Rob bought the PA system. That's this and fixed assets. So we'll leave that there and be depreciating that over several months. And there we go. So that's my report. If anybody has anything else to, any questions or anything to add to that, I'd be happy to entertain that. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I have a question.
Okay.
What I understand what it means for, I think, for businesses, but for a nonprofit like us, what's the unrestricted retained earnings versus the other categories of equity down there? Why is it not just one big pot of money?
That's a good question. And the person who could answer that is Kevin Feeney, so he's not here.
All right.
I apologize. The problem is that when we started using QuickBooks, all we had access to at a reasonable price was the typical company commercial version. So that's all I can tell you. I've just been using workarounds to make it work. It doesn't have any provision for receiving donated money or things like that. So I have to use workarounds to make that work and everything. So that's a good question. It's an excellent question. But I can't answer it right now. So I'm sorry about that.
So one other question. Is it a safe assumption that whatever our assets are in terms of cash, it is for practical purposes, all one big pot of money, or is it maybe not so simple?
It is one big pot of money. The only the liquidity is, you know, as far as the CDs go, they're only accessible when they mature.
Right.
But other than that, to my knowledge, there's no practical difference.
Okay, that's really all.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks, Howard.
You're welcome. Any other questions?
Mark.
Yeah, Howard.
I was muted.
So. Yeah, I just wanted to add on. We do have some assets, but they've been fully depreciated by now as well. Things like the screen. Well, the aforementioned sound system that was replaced, but there's a computer, there are projectors, there are things like that.
Right.
And they've been depreciated as well, Alan. So
that's right. There's also, that's another point that you brought up, the inventory assets. That's what this is. This included things like frames, picture frames for certificates, and I have to look back to see. Oh, it might have been some shirts, things like that.
We've saved on coffee.
We have saved on coffee.
Yeah, and donuts and everything. And donuts. Yes.
Okay. This off. I'll take myself off the share.
Yeah.
Stop it. Okay, there you go.
Okay. Okay. If there's no more questions for the treasurer, we'll move on to the AP committee of Earl and Joe.
Good morning. We are open for business. We have awarded two AP certificates during the pandemic, both author certificates for Chip Stevens and Howard Kaplan. Both have elected to wait until we meet face to face where we can actually take pictures and shake their hands. And that will be happening likely in September. There's been a pent-up demand over the pandemic. People have been doing a lot of work behind the scenes. I, for one, am ready to submit for one or two certificates, and there are others. Greg Schindeldecker, Steve Salati, Charlie Long, et cetera. So we expect to be awarding probably almost half a dozen in the next month or two. Just as a point of reference, we got a new member, Steve Koppel, just joined recently, came to us because of his NMRAX exposure, Gordy Robinson's NMRAX. So he's very interested in the AP program. I'll be working with him, but it's interesting that that's how he heard about the program, not locally, but through the national online clinics. So there's a proof that that actually has made a difference. Joe, that's all I have. What do you have, Joe?
Pretty much the same thing, Earl. Like I said, I got a couple guys I'm trying to coax down here in Delaware. We'll see how that works out. Between the two of us, we'll get it done.
Yeah, and for the good of the membership, we could probably award several certificates, like electrical, by doing it via Zoom. We obviously can't judge a model. They've been working on that at the national level. But Joe and I will get in the car and we'll go to where we have to go. That's it. Any questions?
Okay. Next item I have on the agenda was the other board members, if they wanted to say anything, and that would just be Mike, because he's the only one here. Any announcements or discussion topics you'd like
I would feel bad if I didn't say anything after everyone else talked, you know. So I'll be brief, but some of the things we're working on too, and Mark alluded to these too, are just kind of putting together a modular program for everyone, some more ideas for kicking around ideas for hands-on clinic type things, and learning. In fact, actually an interesting project I'm working on, and Mark's helping me with this well, is looking at the philosophical aspects of model railroading and trying to make model railroading more appealing to the next generation. I mean, I don't think today's generation wants to, do the rivet counting necessarily, or look at truss rods and stuff like that, you know, stuff that we're familiar with, and just kind of the opinion of model railroading and such. So we're looking at different ideas to attract new people. And as Mark said, too, the biggest barrier to entry for new people is the whole idea of space and money. So again, I'm looking at different techniques to make models for little money. For example, we did the COVID COVID cabins back a couple months ago, essentially an N-scale log cabin that you can make for free. So ideas like that we're working on as well. I have a wealth of materials too. I could actually present all the clinics for the next couple of years if I really wanted to, but I do want to give everyone else an opportunity. So if anybody wants to present a clinic or have an idea, definitely want to get you on stage as well and present, because that ties into the AP program too. As part of being a volunteer, as part of being an author, you have to present clinics, you have to share what you know. And I guess that's really what we want to look at, is we have a lot to share here. We got a lot of collective knowledge. You know, the challenge we have here is to make it relative and get the message out there. And with that said, back to you, Rob.
Okay, thank you. So next item up on our list is our election.
Rob, excuse me.
Yes,
excuse me. Can I just say something quickly about the dispatcher?
Sure.
Before we get to that.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to remind and encourage everyone to please write articles and submit them to me. And because I don't have the luxury of having a pile of articles like some editors do to choose from. And really, it's always I'm scrimping and scraping and trying to find things to put in there. I have my regular columnists, and thank you guys. You're fantastic, but I I need feature articles. So please, 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 anything on your mind, anything regarding model railroading or railroading in general, please just put pen to paper, take photos, send it to me, and instantly you get, it's going to be published. So you will get author credit right away. Thank you very much. Okay.
Okay, so again, next will be our election results from the election committee, I guess, Mark.
Yeah,
the
nominating committee.
Nominating committee, so yeah.
Yeah, this is another one of those parts of the annual business meeting. The way this is set up, the nominating committee consists of the board members that are not running. So we have a bifurcated board. We have four spaces who are up for election this year, and then three that follow next year's year. Three in the evening years, four in the odd years, if you want to do it that way. And your nominating committee consists of Joe Walters, Mike Denninger, and myself. And we've been beating the bushes this last year, and a lot of you have either been busy or you have declined and so forth. And so we wound up with a condition where we had three nominees who agreed to run again, and they were Rob Henkel, Chip Stevens, Kevin Feeney, and then we had one unfilled space. So let me just explain the process a little bit here. We follow, like any good railroad, we don't make up our own rules. We follow a national or international set of rules. We follow Roberts. And so this is not like a presidential election or a government election where we have primaries and things like that. This is more like, well, this is like any corporate board where we would nominate individuals who are interested in being a director. And then if we don't have enough, then we generally throw it open to the whole membership, the whole association here in our division. So this year we had a write-in feature. So I'm going to read the results here that we got back. All right. As we say in the dispatching world, ready to copy.
Mark, would it make sense to share that email with the or a subset of that email with the Zoom meeting?
No, I'll just read
it. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, we keep a tabulation sheet that tabulates the votes here. And Earl Payne was kind enough to get together with me yesterday, and we counted them all out here. So they're properly counted and witnessed.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks.
Yeah. And let's see, out of 22 ballots that were submitted, out of 246 that were possible. Let's see. Rob Henkel got the most. Chip Stevens and Kevin Feeney came in with the second most numbers. Now, in terms of the write-ins, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read off the names by numbers. Nobody has to declare anything right now. These write-in numbers mean that you'll probably get a call or we'll get together with you and see if you want to serve on the board or not. And based on who's available and what's available, who decides, we'll get to pick from, you know, the person who gets the highest vote who wants to serve on the board. Should we get two people with the same votes, then we'll have to have a runoff election. And that can actually be done in a board, excuse me, that can be done at another meet or some meeting. We could call a special meeting and have a runoff and do it that way. Roberts gives you all kinds of ways to solve this problem. It's an interesting dilemma, and it's caused by this pandemic problem that we're having right now. So let me just read off the write-ins that we received. Let's see. The person receiving the most write-ins was Earl Payne. The then receiving the next write-ins was Jeff Witt, and then Steve Wislosky. And then we have a group of people here who received the next tier of write-offs, write-ins, excuse me. Charles Long, John Seibert, Roger Osman, and John Trout. And then finally, there were two disqualified votes, one for Joe Walters and one for me, but we're already on the board, so we don't count. And so that that basically describes all the votes in those 22 ballots that were sent in. And I want to thank everybody for sending in the votes. I don't know, democracy is a little bit under a siege and assault here in America right now, and we are good citizens in model railroading. And I want to thank everybody who sent their ballots in. And by the way, the mail was pretty good, so we got most everybody's ballot in by last weekend. So, you know, it's not like you know, people had mailed the ballots months ago, or, you know, right after they came out, and we hadn't received them yet. So anyway, those one, two, three, four, five, seven gentlemen who were called out, we'll be contacting you here, and you know, we can engage you a little bit further, and then we'll announce who the fourth who will accept the fourth seat on the board. So right now, Rob Henkel, then Chip Stevens, Kevin Feeney, and then next in line is Earl Payne, then next in line is Jeff Witt, Steve Wislosky, and then we have a group beneath them, John Seibert, Charles Long, Roger Osman, John Trout. And that's essentially the way it stands. So we'll have to negotiate this last seat, and then we can make a formal announcement. And we'll do that by, in the next week, I would think, because we want to get up and rolling for the new year. The new board starts on July 1st this year. Okay. Is there anybody have any questions? I know it's a little complicated, but, you know.
I have a quick question. Have we looked into online elections, similar to what the national does?
Good question. Because of our changing times, that's hardwired into our bylaws. So we can amend the bylaws and certainly do that. I know other divisions are moving to that. We've had this system, at least since I've been on the board, where ballots are sent out to all the members, and usually they would give you four seats or three seats, and then we'd have five or six people running for the board. And we've had instances where, you know, people would try for several years to get on the board, and it would work that way. To answer your question, we can certainly look in another way of doing this. We would want to be able to make sure that if we do it bifurcated, generally we want to do it so that it's consistent, Earl, you know, so that mm-hmm. we have ballots. And so you could send in a ballot, say, by PDF and email and something like that. But that would require a little amendment to the bylaws, and we could certainly take care of that. We do kind of watch what other divisions and other regions are doing in the NMRA. And the NMRA may change their policy, too, and they may give us, you know, an easier way to do this. So I hope that answers your question. We are looking into it.
Thank you.
Any other questions? This is a little odd, because usually we have a full slate and off to the races. So stay tuned, and you know, we'll be in touch with those who have been written in. By the way, the membership thinks highly enough of you to ask you to do this. It's something I would consider. So is there any other conversation, discussion, questions from anybody? Technically, you know, I don't know how you want to declare the election, Rob, since that goes back to the chair.
Yeah.
I've just given you the report, and basically the three seats have agreed that they will sit for another term. We just have the write-ins here that we have to contact.
Right.
Again, apologies for the ambiguity, but it's part of this whole pandemic mess coming out.
Yeah.
Any questions from anyone else?
Well, if it helps clear anything up and Earl doesn't accept that.
Hold on. According to Robert's rules, Jeff, we got to contact the folks. Don't make a declaration right now, because there's some hierarchy here, and we have to go to the first person and the next person and the next person and the next person. So we'll contact you, okay?
That's fine.
And we'll do this. Now, just so everybody understands, we had a similar problem last year. We had the election, and then Charles Bush had to resign, okay? And it was really sudden. I mean, it was almost right away. And so we had to, you know, go through this process, Jeff, where we had to go to the next person down and the next person down and do that very carefully. And that's how Kevin came to be on the board here this last year. So we have this election system. It works. We have some people to contact, and we'll be in touch, okay? All right. Is there anything else?
You want to make a motion to destroy the ballots?
Yes, I'll make a motion that the ballots be destroyed.
I second.
Joe, second.
Call the question.
Yep. Call a question of that. All in favor of approving the motion to destroy the ballots?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, motion passes unanimously.
All right, they'll be destroyed.
Okay. Okay, next up in the agenda is just open it up to the membership. If you have any questions, comments, issues, concerns, unmute yourself and ask any of us, and we will try and answer to the best of our abilities.
Mr. Hinkle.
Mr.
Hinkle, Ross?
Yes.
I have a question for you in regards to the venue, like different sites where the meetings are to be, you know, attended at.
Mm-hmm.
What is the capacity of membership? Like, what are you looking at as far as how many division members attend?
We want to get someplace that will do at least 50 people. Somewhere between 50 and 100 people would probably be best. Our max, I think, ever at a recent in-person meet was somewhere north of 50, maybe 60, unless we're doing the joint meet in Wilmington, Delaware, where we bring the Jersey guys in, where we could have up to 100 or more. But the location in Wilmington is set up to handle that. That's one of the reasons we use the Wilmington location for a joint meet, because Jersey will usually bring 40, 50 guys at times.
Mm-hmm.
We had met in like Elkins Park train station a couple of years ago, and that location just became too small for our needs. That would only fit about 30 or so people, and we just were getting too big for that. At least we were at that point. Hopefully we'll get back to that point where we will have 50 or so people in any location. So,
yeah. Val has his hand up.
Yep.
Rob.
Yeah. Rob, is there any monetary limit that the division wants to see?
No. Well, within reason. We try and limit it to a couple hundred dollars. It's all going to depend on the location and, you know, the abilities of the location. And, you know, the board, obviously we haven't spent much money in the last year. We do have a bunch of money we can spend to get a nice location, to bring in a lot of people to do things like Joe and I have talked about, doing work in progress clinics where we have different tables set up, all kinds of people showing off, you know, soldering, weathering, that sort of stuff. And that would require a larger space. And we're, the board is probably willing to do that. So, but if you're going to say it's going to be $1,000 for a day, that's probably too much for what we're looking for.
Now, I was thinking of this local firehouse here. They have a capacity over 115.
Uh-huh.
And it's the second floor, and it's right next to a grade crossing of the old Reading.
Okay.
Right here in North Wales. So that,
oh, yeah.
I might look into that for you.
Excellent. As long as there is the, is there an elevator to the second floor?
I don't think so, but I,
okay,
it might be one in the back that we could possibly use.
Yeah, I just, we want to make sure, you know, ADA compliant with everything so that there's a number, as Mark had said, you know, make there's bathrooms available for things, you know, we're not forcing people to hold it for 3 hours.
No problem. They just renovated the whole place. I haven't seen it. So they might have an elevator.
Okay.
Right. That, if I could just interject, yeah, that's the other thing. It just has to be accessible and really accessible in terms of restrooms. That was the other problem with the Quakertown Station. Their restrooms, they didn't have more than two restrooms. So that was a real problem. And then I guess it was 2 years ago when we met at Jersey, the water didn't work.
Oh.
So that was a bit of a challenge.
I know the East Coast Santa Fe Modelers Group, I went to a couple of theirs at Delaware Valley University, so they have a nice facility there that might, I don't know if they charge or whatever, but just to throw it out there.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's some charge for that, but we can investigate it. I mean, you know, when we were renting space for the convention a couple of years ago, you know, it was like $500 a day for some of their meeting rooms, and that could be an option as well. I mean, that was a centralized location, but it all depends on the agreement we have to sign with them. But yeah, but you know, bring it to us. We'll investigate it. If it comes up to be too expensive, we'll let you know and say, you know, they want to, because we, you know, I have seen it in certain things, you know, they want to charge us a $250 setup fee and a $500 electrical fee or some strange things like that, you know, and that's just some of the stuff that we don't want to absorb, because there are a lot of options that we've used in the past that have not cost us that much. But most of our stuff usually is about $100 to $200 that we will make a donation to the location to cover the costs for it. So
anything else?
If the venue like is a senior center or something like that, what if they want to be able to have like the members or the people have access to the meet? Is that an issue, or does it have to be private, or how does that work as far as vetting some of these venues?
Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, we have a procedure for that. Everybody's welcome to attend our meets. We're actually basically open to the public for the first two or three times. We have a three times attendance thing, and
or it's probably anybody like to pay up, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, after the third time we do insist on membership. Our insurance is kind of worded in an interesting sort of way. If you're not a member, the facility technically, you know, is responsible for them, but our insurance covers all the members, so we have this, you know, open policy. And if you have it at a place like a senior center, sure, why not? Yeah. Everybody's welcome. It's great.
Yeah, everyone's welcome. We do not charge, our division does not charge any fees, any activity fees for regular meets. If we did special meets, there might be a fee charge, but for our regular meets, there is no fee. Just come in, you know, anyone is welcome.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things Mark had mentioned I was going to bring up later is about train shows. And there will be a train show in August in Oaks. The Greenberg's train show is scheduled for the 21st and 22nd of August, I believe. and the Philadelphia division will have a table there. Kevin has spearheaded that project. We'll have a table there. We will have information about the NMRA. We will have, you know, rail pass applications. So, and we will say when our next meet is, which will be sometime in September, at a location to be determined, but we'll have it determined by then. And hopefully, you know, we'll say, you know, if you want to see what we're about, come and check us out. You know, we'll provide pretzels and donuts and coffee and water and maybe sodas and stuff. So come have fun. See if you like us. It's free.
Yeah, any scale, any size, you know, mm-hmm. we love model railroads.
Okay. Any last questions, comments? Okay. Someone want to make a motion to adjourn the business part of our meeting?
I think John's waving.
John and Val, John, both way, but they're both muted.
But
so
you're
we
both
can't hear.
Come on up, John.
I move that we end the business meeting.
Do second. I have a
Val second?
Val second. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
The business meeting has been adjourned. We will take a 10-minute break and then start with the rest of our program. Joe Walters presenting about lighting.
Actually, I think, Rob, we want to do something a little different. I think we want to do the quizzo first.